As I mentioned, as we were beginning this morning, we're going to start a new series that I've called Fortifying Forgiveness. And I believe that we would all agree that forgiveness is a beautiful and good idea until we have to practice it, right? It can be very difficult and hard at times to come to that place of forgiveness. Early October of last year, outside a Dallas courtroom, voices were chanting, "No justice, no peace, no justice, no peace." And these voices were in protest to the 10-year sentence that were handed to Amber Geiger. You might remember the story where Geiger was convicted of killing Botham Jean inside his Dallas apartment in September of 2018. It was a well-known story, and many people grieved Botham's death. As those voices continued to chant outside that courtroom on that October day, Brant Jean, the 18-year-old younger brother of Botham, took the witness stand to issue his victim impact statement. And what came out of his heart and through his mouth was shocking to his family and surprising to the people inside the courtroom and astounding to the world that was watching. Maybe you've seen the video. And if you have, let this be a reminder. But if you haven't, pay close attention to Brant's invigorating words. Let's listen to this video.
If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. If you truly are.
Some fortifying words of forgiveness. Sammy Berry, minister at Dallas West Church of Christ and a family friend of the Bothams, later told Brant, he said to him, "Thank you, Brant. Thank you because what you said was so powerful and it helped so many people." And that's true. And you and I, we know of so many stories. Some of them are personal, but some of them are ones we've just read about or experienced through media. We know about stories of forgiveness. But one thing that is always true about genuine and sincere stories of forgiveness, one thing holds true for all of them. When we witness forgiveness, we witness the heart of God. Because forgiveness is clearly God's prescription for the broken and the hurting. No matter how great the offense, along the path to healing and to wholeness lies forgiveness. And tucked away inside of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we find familiar words, and Don read these for us before our prayer time, but listen one more time to words that many of us know well. Matthew 6, starting in verse 12, "Forgive us of our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Many of us have what we call the Lord's Prayer. Many of us have those words memorized. Others of us know them well. They're familiar to us. But the next set of verses, maybe not so familiar to us. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Not many of us have those words tacked on our wall. Not many of us have those words with a magnet on our fridge, right? What is so hard and difficult about those words? Why is forgiveness so difficult to practice? Well, even inside this room today, in a crowd this size, there's at least one person, and I believe more, who are struggling with the idea of forgiveness. You're hurting, you're grieving, you're resentful, maybe even harboring hatred. And you know that you need to forgive, but you've put it off. You're procrastinating, or maybe somehow, some way in your mind, the devil has convinced you that you're hurting them. That somehow you're repaying them for what they did to you by not forgiving them. And what happens is when those feelings of hurt, if they're not worked through properly with the help of the Lord, they turn into resentment. And resentments can easily turn into angry bitterness, and bitterness eventually turns to hatred. And when one of us get that far into the cycle of unforgiveness, we become miserable. And I've often heard it said that misery is a choice. And when we become miserable, because we're engulfed, we're just weighed down by all of those negative emotions and feelings, what do we do as human beings? Well, a lot of times, more times than not, we go looking for ways to numb the pain, to make it go away because it becomes more than we can handle. And we'll try just about anything to numb the pain, even revenge. And as we watch that clip of Brant Jean, his victim statement, you could almost see him laying down his right to be angry. Couldn't you almost feel it as he's tugging at his tie like it is just around his neck and it's hot, because what he wants to do is probably scream. But instead, he's choosing the way of the kingdom of God. He's choosing to lay down his right to be angry, and instead, he's choosing to forgive. He's choosing to exchange his anger for shalom, for God's peace that passes our understanding. And his choice, listen, here's the most beautiful part for me. His choice to forgive was a prophetic way to share light and love and to proclaim God's kingdom to the world. And so when things go wrong in our relationships, when we particularly on the receiving end of a hurtful comment or hurtful action, it's hard to forgive. It's hard, especially when that person's not asking or seeking forgiveness, right? That's when it's specifically difficult. And perhaps right now, you know that there are people talking about you behind your back. Or maybe you're aware that one of your friends, or at least you thought they were a friend, has done something or is doing something in some way to betray your trust. Or maybe it's something of the past, right? And you're holding on to resentment or to bitterness. And the only way, church, listen to me, the only way that I know of in being in ministry and in recovery work for many, many years, the only way I know of to lay those things down and to begin the healing process is to forgive. Forgiveness fortifies our relationships and it breaks the evil cycle of unforgiveness. It does not settle all the questions. Forgiveness doesn't always bring about justice or fairness, but forgiveness does allow relationships to begin to heal, and it does open the door to things like justice and righteousness and reconciliation. Those things don't always happen when we forgive, but it at least opens the door. And so I want us to explore two kinds of forgiveness for our earthly or horizontal relationships today. And the first is seeking and extending forgiveness. So I've poked at this question, but let me just ask it. Have you asked for forgiveness from those that you have hurt? And for others of us, have you forgiven others who have hurt you or let you down? This kind of forgiveness is a conscious decision, and it is a process, right? It's not a one-time thing in our horizontal relationships. Sometimes forgiveness happens every day, right? You wake up and you have to say those words again, I forgive you. Maybe you call them by name. I forgive you, Micah. You say that name out loud. Do you remember playing tug of war as a kid? Maybe you just watched. You didn't want to get your hands all scratched up and whatever on the rope, right? But if you remember the game tug of war, and bless your heart, maybe you've played it as an adult. That would be fun to watch. But if you remember the game tug of war, right? There's at least one person on each side of the rope, and sometimes if it's really fun, there's like a muddy water pit in the middle that the person falls in if they lose. But you're playing this game tug of war, and it's tugging back and forth. And as long as there's someone on the other side of that rope, you have a tug of war. Forgiveness is letting go of your side of the rope. Do you see it? You just lay it down and walk away. You may even be able to feel or sense or even see the other person on the other end going, what are you doing? This war's not over. Come on. And your part in the forgiveness process to say, I forgive you. And you lay the rope down. And until you're willing to do that, you're a prisoner of war. And as in all things, Jesus is our example in this realm of forgiveness. If you have your Bible or Bible app, I'm going to be in Luke 23, and we're going to be looking at some different pictures of forgiveness from the life of Jesus. In Luke 23, Jesus is led by his killers to the place that they called the skull or Golgotha. You might remember a number of his disciples stayed nearby, including the women who had followed him from the beginning of his ministry. And they were with him, and they were mourning Jesus and the beatings that he had taken and the place to which he was being led. They were witnessing his suffering. And when they finally reached Calvary, they nailed him to the cross. They also nailed two other criminals, one on his left and one on his right. And as Jesus is unmistakably in this place of pain and agony, he's hanging on the cross. He can feel his spirit dying, right? His body is weakening. What does he do for us? He leaves us an example of forgiveness. In Luke 23:34, Jesus utters the words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them. Forgive who? Who's Jesus asking God the Father to forgive? Well, certainly Jesus must be talking about those who beat him with whips covered in pieces of shard. Surely he had them in mind when he said these words. And certainly Jesus was speaking to those who mocked him, saying things like, it's starting in verse 35, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he in fact is the Christ of God, the chosen one. If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." Surely Jesus had these people in mind who were mocking him when he said, "Father, forgive them." And surely Jesus had in mind when he said, "Father, forgive them," those who drove the nails into his wrist and into his feet, and the guard, the soldier who put the spear, the sword into his side and let water and blood flow. Surely he had them in mind when he said, "Father, forgive them." And perhaps he had in mind those in his day and those of us today who haven't been able to come to the place to believe that he is who he said he was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he did have in mind as well those who were nearest to him, literally hanging right next to him. Pick up with me in verse 39 of Luke 23. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And so even while Jesus is under tremendous personal anguish and suffering, he models for us what it looks like to forgive others, even our enemies, even our irritants. Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And in our relationships, it's of utmost importance to follow that example, to heed that teaching. I mean, think about it. By not forgiving that person, do you have someone in mind? By not forgiving them, who is it that you're hurting the most? I'll give you a hint. It's you. By not forgiving them, by choosing to hold on to the anger and the resentment and the bitterness, holding on to that does more damage to you than it does to them. Forgiveness enables you to become fully free of the weight of unforgiveness, to become fully free from resentment and bitterness and anger. And it empowers you. Forgiveness empowers you to move down the way, the pathway of God and his kingdom. And by the way, just real quickly, on your list of amends that you might need to make, you might have left someone off. Maybe on that list, you need to forgive someone who you've been ignoring. You've been putting it off. God. That's right, you heard me right. God. Now, hear me out on this. Hear me clearly. God cannot and does not sin. His very nature is goodness and perfect holiness. However, we need to remember that God loved every one of us so much that he gave us free will. God didn't want us to be his puppets, right? That he controls. He gave us free will to choose, including to follow him or not, including to be kind or not, including to be good or not, including to be Christ-like or not. And so this morning, I just want you to consider, would you consider that the harm that others have done to you isn't God's fault? Would you consider with me that maybe you need to let God off the hook for what others have chosen to do to you? And I say this because I've been there. Almost 20 years ago now, I was drowning in anger and I was blaming God for the anger. That was mine. But it was more comfortable, it was more convenient for me to put it on God. And a part of me stepping further down the pathway of Christ and the kingdom of God was admitting, God, it's not you. It's me. And you didn't do these things. People have made choices that are contrary to your will. And it was in that space, it was in that moment that the door was opened to a better understanding for me of who God was and how he is present in our world and in our lives and what he's doing to restore it. So maybe this morning you need to let God off the hook. The second type of forgiveness that I want to explore just real quickly is accepting forgiveness. And as the one who needs forgiveness, or perhaps you did not seek it. Maybe you're not aware that you hurt someone. Maybe you're not aware, and so you haven't sought forgiveness. But when that person comes to you and they're saying, you hurt me, but I want to extend forgiveness to you, it's vital that you accept that forgiveness and then make amends where necessary. And sometimes we're not good at accepting another person's forgiveness. We still beat ourselves up or we find ways to reject it. And that's not healthy either. I want you to listen closely to Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And in one shocking but beautiful moment, Brand Jean puts on all of these virtues that we read in Colossians 3. He puts them all on and he extends forgiveness in the most powerful way. If you haven't seen this, you need to see it. Let's watch this video.
I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
I don't know if you heard in his victim statement, but he didn't tell his family what he was going to say or what he was going to do. Brant's mother, Allison, later told reporters, and I quote, "Growing up in a Christian environment, we always practice forgiveness. It was a little surprising to me that he was forgiving of someone who took his brother away, a brother that he cherished. But I know that it was something that he knows is right, and that's why he did it. He's fully aware that if we do not forgive, then we do not receive forgiveness from God." Brant Jean's impactful speech and this embrace that we just witnessed, I mean, right? It just, you can't help it. It just surfaces and you're like, that's the heart of God. Right? There's no denying it. That he lays down his right to be angry. Grieving the loss of his brother, he lays down his right to be angry. And he exchanges it for shalom. And in the process, he shines brightly the way of the kingdom of God. Right? And his preacher from the congregation in Dallas, Sammy Berry, he was so right. He was like, what you did today was powerful. And it helped so many people. And it did. It's a tangible example of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6. Such an act of mercy and love. It does not, listen to me on this, it does not excuse the actions of someone, even the murderer of a loved one. Doesn't excuse their actions. There will still be consequences. Trust is still fractured. Systems are still broken. Deceit and hatred and malice must still be called out and extinguished. However, Brant's example of forgiveness, it shows us how impactful that the way of God can be. It shows us why we should not harbor hatred in our hearts, but instead choose to forgive as God has forgiven us. And it's a powerful example of how the pathway of forgiveness, it makes room. It makes room for justice to roll on like a mighty river, and for reconciliation to be possible, and for the light of God to be shown brightly in the world where there is so much darkness and evil. Forgiveness, church, allows good to emerge. And when we choose to not forgive, we're butting up against the kingdom of God. How about we participate with the work of God in this world and choose to forgive? So I'll ask you one more time. Who is it that you need to forgive? It's time to move. Let me pray for us. So, Father, we come to you admitting, confessing that this is hard. It gets messy sometimes. But God, in the mess, you meet us there. You are with us and you are for us unto kingdom realities. And so, God, I just pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us faith to step into those places where we need to forgive and to give it freely. And Father, as we choose that, as we choose forgiveness, would you bless us with your kindness? Would you bless us with your peace? And God, it's hard, and hate and resentment will come back into our hearts. And when it does, would you, through the power of your Spirit, convict us of those and give us those words of forgiveness again, even if it's daily, even if it's moment by moment, give us those words of forgiveness again. God, release us from these prisons of unforgiveness so that we can live for you and be a bright light for you, for your glory, for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.